I'm talking to you. Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of the Root Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Stout. I am excited for this next episode. We have two people here today. We have TJ Jastrom and Andrew Jastrom of Jastrom Premium Landscapes and Premium Turf Care. I'm excited to have these guys on because personal connection. Obviously, I've known TJ and Andrew for probably well over about 10 years now at least. And they run their own landscaping business right here in, I guess we're southeastern PA, right outside Philly, so we're in the Philly burbs. But these guys have been doing landscaping and fertilizer services and snow removal and everything in between, including hardscapes and awesome project with golf greens. And they do a lot. They do A to Z when it comes to landscaping. So that's why I want to have both you guys on here. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Let's get started. TJ, can you tell us a little bit about yourself personally? You're married and have two kids, correct?
Yep, two kids, Liliana and Trey. Oh. And yeah, they're a handful.
Yeah.
They're 2 and 3 years old, respectively.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about tough times growing a business and trying to be a good dad and all that stuff. And Andrew's the same way. He's got two kids. And
yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, so what? How old are your two kids and their names?
I got Kayla, who is 10 months, and Claire, who is 2 and a half. And we're, in the same boat.
This is why I wanted to have, because, we talk a lot about work-life balance and, on this podcast and how hard people work, and sometimes work gets too busy and you can't do the things you want to do. But for you guys, it's an interesting situation. First of all, you're brothers.
Yep. Yep.
You run a company together. Your dad is heavily involved in the company also.
Correct.
Well, not heavily. I mean, he's there.
He helps. Yeah, he helps. Out.
He helps a lot. So it's a big kind of family run business. I'll talk to Andrew. Andrew, when did you start with Jastrom? You started a little bit later, right?
Yeah.
From the start. So give us the beginning of Jastrom.
The beginning of Jastrom was pretty much, TJ, went to Penn State for landscape contracting. Obviously, it started before that. We, as kids, we cut neighbors' lawns, that kind of vibe. But, it really kicked off when TJ went to college and went for, landscape design contracting. And he came back right when I was going to college because we're 4 years apart. So I went to college and, he took the ball from there. He could talk about the beginning of it, but and I didn't come in until after I finished my degree and what I was doing. So.
Gotcha. So I didn't know that. I thought you guys were only 1 or 2 years apart.
No,
you were 4 years apart.
4 years apart.
So that makes a big difference
then.
Yeah. So TJ, what year was that? When you graduated, you went to Penn State, main campus,
yep.
Right?
Yep, graduated in 2008 from Penn State with a degree in design build, and went to D.C. straight out of Penn State, worked for Chapel Valley Landscape in Alexandria. Great company. I worked on probably some of the coolest stuff you could possibly imagine. We were working literally at next to the White House, dealing with the Secret Service every day, Capitol, National Archives, literally the top stuff.
Really?
Every day. It was a lot of crazy challenges with that and loved the job, but 2008 financial crisis happened.
So, yeah.
It was overnight that half the company was in jeopardy. I understand now as a business owner
what that looks like.
What that looks like. At the time, I'm like, how could you, cut my salary? I just came out of school. I'm living in one of the most expensive areas in the country. 10% really, really hurts at the time. So I was like, I have a passion for this. I think I could do this myself. So moved back home to Southeast PA. And started Jastrom,
moved home, started Jastrom. That's all great. But how did you start Jastrom? Right? You had the knowledge. You went to Penn State, great agriculture school. You had the business savvy, I think, because of your father. He had a heavy influence, and he was a smart businessman. His whole his whole life growing up and what he accomplished in his life. So you had kind of like a game plan getting into it, but were you like, oh shit, I got to buy three ride on, you know, a zero turn, like, you know what I mean? Like you got to start somewhere. So did you buy, I know. And this, we'll get into this a little bit in the podcast. You have been very, we'll say financially savvy and take low risk in your business when you invest in things from your shop to your equipment, things like that. But I guess the start had to be some sort of investment, right? I mean, or did you really just start, I got a truck and a trailer. Did you start like, truck and a truck kind of?
I had my high school truck.
Yeah.
I had $10,000 in the bank and I, started on a hope and a prayer basically.
Yeah.
There's many ways to grow a business. I don't know if ours was correct, but
yeah, in the beginning, right?
$35
cuts.
We're a product of the Great Recession.
Yeah.
I didn't want to fail as a business, so I didn't take those risks of, let me get $500,000 loan to start the company. Like that. We took jobs, rolled the profits, reinvested it back into the company, basically. Yep. So
yeah.
I had, I probably got lucky because I had a bunch of big installs to start, and the profit margins on those were great.
Yeah.
I'm literally doing them. So yeah. What overhead do you have?
None.
The job costs.
Free labor from his brother.
Yeah, yeah. Free labor when he's home in the summer.
So, that's how it started rolling. Eventually I met up with another friend that had a local landscaping company and learned some of the ropes of the area because DC and Southeast PA at the time were
totally like different markets.
Totally different. DC is probably, even at the time, still like 10 years from where we are right now.
Yeah.
So it was really night and day. So I had to learn the pricing of the area, which was painful. Just trying to figure all that out.
But I mean the cost, when you look at it, you can probably get cheaper plants up here than you could in DC too, right?
True.
So it was all relative, but it's still trying to figure out your market.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, people listen to this podcast all cause we got a couple guys in the South that listen. It's like, just, I hear them talk about their lawns and like, dude, it's just a totally different market down there. Or even, Mike Fabian from Greenstripe over in Northern Jersey. I mean, what he gets for an application compared to what we get for an application is just
absolutely
unbelievable. It's just the market you're in.
Yeah. It's costs are all relative. What are you paying for guys? What are your overhead?
Yeah.
It really does vary. But for whatever reason this area seemed to be lagging in some of those, a lot of it was like the country boy, I feel like.
Yeah.
Since
2008 too, or when you got back to PA, our area has really expanded far as just people in general. They're moving out of the cities and not even the little towns that were outside Philly, the Phoenixvilles of the areas, the Collegevilles, all these little towns that were outside Philly are now triple the size.
Phoenixville growing up was like bombed out. It was an old steel town. Obviously all the steel moved overseas. So,
yep.
Phoenixville basically went through a mini depression kind of thing.
Same, so. You grew up in Phoenixville, I grew up in Ambler, same thing. We had the asbestos plants that were there and, hashtag Ambler, the capital of the world.
It's really
asbestos.
Crazy because, you have that blue collar aspect. Everyone's like, I can do it myself, doing lawns, installing plants, not very well, but whatever. And then you have the dichotomy of like, then there's Chester Springs and whatever down the road, and it's like one of the richest zip codes in the country.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Now that's all spreading throughout the whole area. But
yeah.
At the time, it wasn't like that.
So Andrew came back. Andrew, what were you doing right when you came back from college? Were you just, sorry, bro, you're on that mower every day?
That was pretty much, I ran, the crews, did all the mowing, all that stuff while he, developed his plan, did, designs, plan installs
yeah.
And I just, took the maintenance side of it and ran with it for, I guess, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Until I came out of the truck.
You weren't mowing every day anymore?
Yeah.
You guys obviously had a couple helpers was it really just you and you? You probably what had a weed whacker guy or something like that helping you?
Yeah, originally it was like, hey Andrew, what high school buddies do you have?
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a good flood for a couple or a year
then
or two.
They tailed off.
Yeah,
yeah, they tailed off. I mean, they were good guys, of course, but then you know, we got some introduction to, you know, a couple Hispanic laborers and stuff, and
yeah,
kind of grew from there and
snowballed a little bit,
and we were probably lucky that we were brother and brother running the business, because a lot of people struggle
for that first guy trying to
get out of the truck, do estimates, do billing, do, you know, that's,
yeah,
I mean, that's like most of the industry.
I just talked to a landscaper yesterday. He's doing great. He's you know, a couple years in, he's doing 600K, he's doing great things, but he's just not organized enough. He's just, you know, he told me that many mornings last year he was walking in the morning and not knowing where guys were going and what equipment they needed and what products they needed.
That was us in the beginning, honestly.
Yeah. And it's crazy that he's running a half successful business being that disorganized. And when you have your brother, you might not seem as, you're way more organized than you are, you know, obviously 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but at that point in your business, you were pretty organized. You had roles set up. You probably didn't even know it, but you did, you know. Yeah. Andrew was the grinder. He was out mowing the lawns, cutting the lawns. If he got an estimate, he'd send it right to you. You got, like, you had a plan.
Yeah, it was horrible planning, but
it's
yeah,
not, it, but at
it
least
wasn't, it wasn't good.
Probably, I mean, better than 75%.
But it was better than you, like you said, you had someone to lean on than right. you answering every phone call while you're mowing lawns. Like, that's, you know, any small business guy that's out there or anyone that's ever done something like this, even my first year, it gets very, very difficult to service your clients the right way and get back to people in a timely manner. And this day and age, that's like really the only thing that matters in business is getting 100%. Back to
you.
I mean, you can run any business as long as you get back to people.
I can't tell
any
you,
service business. I
can't
I would
tell
say.
You the amount of jobs we've won because you called us back or you answered the phone or
you scheduled the appointment.
You showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally just have to show up as an industry and we'll, you know, you'll win.
You'll win.
I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, there's other stuff. You have to have clean image, all that stuff.
Of course.
Be professional. But it is amazing, just the simple, you know, calling someone back.
Yeah.
Like, how I constantly put myself in my customer's shoes. Like, how would I want to be treated if I was trying to find a service out there?
Well, Corey Ballard talks about it a lot. Like, I will go with the company that calls me back and gets the response as fast as I can, and even if they're more expensive. Because usually the people that are getting back to me, I understand why they're more expensive, because they got back to me.
Right.
And their trucks look nice.
Yeah.
And they do a professional job. You know, that's a huge, huge factor.
People and systems, they probably have it, and they're going to get the job done for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you have a clean truck, what does that say?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm OCD about trucks, so
we have
2.5 weeks left, and the trucks could roll out today and blind some people how shiny they are. They're gorgeous.
I mean, yeah, ours are the same way.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's like, all right, when you're out on the road, you see a shiny truck. What does that say? Well, they care enough about their own stuff that they're probably going to care about my property.
Yeah, speaking of properties, this is a good lead-in.
Yeah.
So you guys, you're rolling. From what I understand, you can tell the story a little bit better, but you found a plot of land, and you're like, this is a great plot of land, had a house on it, which is always a great investment, real estate. And then you're like, I'm going to build the baddest pole barn of all time. Is that how it went down?
Basically, people thought I was absolutely insane. I mean, we were doing $500,000 in sales at this point. Probably was a little bit insane when you think about it, but you have to have a vision as a business owner. I wasn't like trying to get a shop for that $500,000 business. I mean, at that time, I probably could have had like 2 garage bays. You know?
Yeah.
You know, you have to have room to go. You know, you have to put those building blocks in place to have that rapid growth.
Yeah.
To go to the next step. I mean, it's literally like a stair-step ladder in the landscaping business, at least. You know, you hit these plateaus, and then you hit a wall, and you have to do a lot of reinvestment and whatnot.
Ain't that the truth?
It's the same thing with lawn care, but little different steps. But, you know, I'm like, I'm going to build it. I have all these costs, no matter what, doing the land development, let's build it as big as I, you know, can afford right now.
Yep.
So at the time, I'm like, this thing's huge. Now it's already full.
We're out of room.
We're out of room.
How big is it?
It's 5,000 square feet. Whew. Yeah.
My shop's 24, so it's double this.
Yeah, we're full.
You're full.
We're full.
Absolutely full. Packed.
In 10 years.
Yeah.
We're full.
So tell the people that, but the great story is that we talk about how financially savvy you are and how smart you've been with the business. A lot of people run, you know, no debt businesses, and power to them. And some people think debt's a good thing. So, you know, whatever floats your boat, I don't care. But how you did it was, you're like, I got enough money. I've been stacking this cash. Me and my brother are killing it. We're going to pay for this land cash, and we're just going to buy this land.
Yep. I mean, I'm not going to say we didn't have a little bit of help.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everybody, yeah, if you're in small business,
I'm not, you know, I'm not saying, yeah, yeah.
Our philosophy has generally been have the money to pay for it so you don't have an anvil over your head.
Yeah.
So we were, you know, we were able to weather, you know, just even the COVID crisis, you know, in the beginning, because, you know, we didn't have that anvil over our head of a giant note for the shop,
yeah,
whatever, you know, notes, yeah, and all this stuff. We own our shop and land outright, so, you know, we're in a little bit better position than maybe some people. And I was still panicking at the time. It's like, yeah, how do I feed this?
But, well, it was COVID and no snow.
Yeah,
right?
And then, yeah, talk, oh my god,
yeah, rough couple years here in the Northeast. Well, I think really just our area. I guess Maryland definitely didn't get any snow down there last couple years. New York didn't get much the last couple of years, but you roll into this, and now I wanted to get into the shop. So you have this great shop. Everybody kind of knows my story by now. If you've listened to any of these episodes, you know that I came from a larger company, and then I started Stout Lawn Care. We knew each other through that mutual relationship, and we had a discussion, I think, where right when I started my business, I said, hey, I'm starting Stout Lawn Care fertilizer business. What's your thoughts on let me rent a little bit of space?
Right.
And I think the conversation went right to, hey, great, because I was thinking about doing fertilizer myself.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, we have a mutual friend, Andrew Gabries, went to Penn State with me. I went to DC, came back, reached out to Andrew's like, hey, can I come check out your operation? Because he had been doing it all through high school, Penn State. I mean, driving back and forth, it was absolutely crazy what that guy did.
Yeah.
And I mean, the drive that Andrew has is like no one else.
Unparalleled.
Unparalleled. So, you know, checked out his stuff. The great thing about Andrew is he'll give you advice.
All the advice you could ever ask for.
All the advice you ever want.
He's like an open book.
So, knowing him forever, and then you came on, I think, in the early 20-teens to Good Green. And you were actually servicing our properties, I believe, at one point.
They must have looked so good at that time frame.
Yeah,
they were
great.
Adequate.
You were great. You were great tech. We loved you. When you went into the office, I was like, no.
Yeah.
But
yeah, for those out there, I still spray lawns, all right? I'm not just here. I'm not just a boss doing a podcast, I'm spraying lawns every day.
And they're adequate.
Nah, they're fire.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. My program's dialed in. But anyway, go ahead. So,
I just wanted to go through that. So we've known each other for a while. I mean, when you went into the management role at Go Green, and then I guess you started thinking about doing Stout or whatever. But for the longest time, you know, I'm like, Andrew's my good buddy. I don't want to use the word poach or whatever. You're not taking someone, but, you know, I just have that thing. Like, I'm not going to take one of my buddy's guys.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, I wish if there was ever a person to start a company, it's Chris Stout.
Yeah. Well, I got into it real deep. I really liked the lawn care aspect. Coming from Scott's, the big conglomerate, and my past life being a chef, I jumped into it and I really liked it. And like you said, the first couple of years I was outside spraying, and that was really cool. And that's when I really learned about turf and how to actually manage turf. Yeah. And then when I got into the management side, that's when we started working, I guess, more heavily together, because I was doing your scheduling. I was, new calls, all that stuff. And, that's when I really dived into lawn care and really got into it. Started to go, and like you said, Andrew was great, took me to a bunch of conferences, took me to every webinar, seminar that you can imagine, and self-educated.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew's a great guy. We're great friends to this day and hope to be for a very long time.
Yep.
So I'm like, I would love to have Chris you know, start my company. But of course, you know, it would be like, hey, if Grow Green never, you know, doesn't work out, you know, there's an opportunity here eventually.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you came, you know, we were thinking about finally doing it. And you came to me and were like, hey, I'm starting up my own company. And, you know, I know you have a relationship with Andrew and, you know, could I potentially do that stuff for you? And I was like, well, funny story is we were going to take it back and start our own company, Premium Turf Care. So maybe this could, you know, be mutual beneficial here.
Absolutely.
You needed, you know, a spot to start Stout Lawn Care.
Yep.
And, you know, we needed to learn the processes of the lawn care business.
Yeah.
You know, I had the turf classes at Penn State and the knowledge and stuff, but those are two different things.
Absolutely.
Mean, putting the rubber to the road is, you know, definitely where you got to be. So, you know, that's how we started. I don't know if you want to describe what you were thinking, but
I was thinking the same thing. And what I was going into it was, I was like, man, like, my biggest hurdle when I was starting the business is where I was going to do all this. Cause I knew enough working with Go Green that like, I wanted to set it up a certain way. I wanted to have a fill station. I didn't want to be using a hose at my house to, you know, fill up 300, 400, 500, 600 gallons a day and stuff like that. I was like, what am I going to do? And then I was like, well, I'm opening this thing. Let me call TJ and say, TJ, we're live right now, so it doesn't matter. You can put the mic down and then open your water. Yeah, it doesn't matter. This is the fun part of a podcast, that you can make fun of people like this. Like TJ,
TJ took a big gulp.
It took him 17 minutes to open up a water bottle right now with one hand.
What are you doing with the microphone?
What do you do with the mic? It's fine. Yeah. People are used to this.
Yeah.
So I called you guys. I was like, I'm doing this. I'm taking this big chance, but I need some customers. Obviously, I had a bunch of people, friends and family, that were going to join up. But I was like, oh, this is a golden opportunity, TJ. You know, maybe he'd go with the smaller guy, blah, 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 blah. And TJ's like, nope, I'm starting my own fertilizer company. I said, okay, well, can I rent some space? So long story short, we ended up, I got a little corner of his inside, his massive warehouse that was like 3/4 full at the time. And then we bought a shipping container, small little 18 foot, something like that, 20 foot.
Yeah, I think it's a 20.
Shipping container, ran some hoses, bought some equipment, that spring we ran Stout Lawn Care and Premium Turf Care out of the same little shop.
Same fill station.
So for those out there, man, networking is important. I would speak for Stout Lawn Care and myself that situation couldn't have worked out any better for me as Stout Lawn Care. I was able to start, you know, do one truck a day, fill it up, do what I needed to do and be out of there and do my production and stay out of your way. And I think that you were able to watch how I did that and were able to do Premium Turf Care pretty effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd be where we are without that initial influence from you, for sure. You know, it worked out perfectly. I don't know if it would work for everyone, but I would say we were already friends and I trusted you and, you know.
Yeah.
It has to be the right situation, of course.
Yeah.
But, we'll forever be grateful for what you showed me, and obviously you got some benefits too.
100%, 100%. No, it was cool. And Andrew, I'll talk to you for a second. It was you. You know, when I was there,
that was the first time when TJ came to me and he said, "Hey, Chris wants to rent a spot," and I was like, "Who's Chris?" Because TJ was always dealing with Go Green.
Yeah,
back in the day, I'm like, oh, "What does he want to do?" And TJ was like, "We're gonna collaborate and, you know, start our turf care with him."
And it's kind of the same concept with the mowing. You were like kind of the guy that got mowing started, and then when fertilizer was kicking off, Premium Turf Care,
I jumped.
You were kind of still dabbling in mowing, helping with scheduling and all that, but you jumped into turf care, and we were out a lot together spraying lawns together in the beginning. But that's a pretty, and now since then, that's primary, your primary role there is really running the fertilizer division, correct?
Exactly. I do pretty much.
And that's cool. I mean, I love it. I love to hear that's how it's evolved. And, you know, from your side of it, Andrew, what did you like about fertilizer, that side of the business? And, you know, what have you learned since I left, you know, three and a half years ago there?
Honestly, you were instrumental in teaching me a lot. I mean, I guess I would ask you questions what, 4 or 5 times a day. I call you up, hey, what do I do here? What do I do there? But and I appreciate that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, TJ had the background knowledge on turf grass, and you know, he taught me a lot too. It's just I love seeing pieces move, and with turf care, you know, with the lawn mowing, you have crews out there, but I love to see an operation move. Like, I love seeing trucks in motion. So that's what I like. I like the scheduling part of it. I love meeting with customers. I like to say, hey, I'm going to deliver this. You got to give me 6 months to a year to get your lawn looking great.
But yeah,
our program will get you there. And shit you not, literally, you can – I can get a phone call a year later. You were right. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I love all that about it.
Yeah. And I guess on your end, you used to schedule mowing and do mowing.
So scheduling and turf care was.
It's like, it's so much easier to schedule turf care.
Oh,
so
10,000%.
Oh, it's nice. I tell people all the time. I was on Corey Ballard's The Green Grind podcast, and we were talking about scheduling. I'm like, man, I feel bad for those mowing guys, because you're stuck to the weather, man, and that's the worst part about it.
The weather's tough, but then, you know, the customer, I want to be cut on this day or that day, and you know, you got geographic considerations that you're trying to do as a business owner, and making all that work. I mean, to this day, our account executive Jimmy, he's like, why can't we group these two? They're like right here. It's like, well, Mrs. Jones, if we came on a Wednesday, you would not want to hear the voicemail.
And Mrs. Jones gets a spring cleanup, a fall cleanup, mulch every year. Does the fertilizer program and everything.
I mean, we're at the point now where we have so many customers and we're going through. We can make that work. But in the beginning, I mean, that's part of the spinning of the wheels as a stage one business.
I mean,
you really, and Andrew did this right. I hate to go back to Andrew. I mean, he was like, I'm staying in a 2 square mile radius and I am going to saturate that. That is probably the right way to do mowing and lawn, you know.
100%. Especially mowing. If you don't have route density in mowing, I just talked to a young kid up here in Boyertown, 20 years old, man. I think, you know, people are talking about generations are being lazy, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've met a couple 2019. 21. I don't know if it's, maybe it was that, you know, we're in our 40s, you're, you know, 30s, but that 35 to 25 crowd, I agree with everybody. I don't think
watch it.
But that crowd's a little, you know, they want everything handed to them, but there's this younger generation that's
younger. I don't know what
they're a little bit, because my cousins,
after me, it's forget about it.
But my cousins who are graduating and have graduated, man, Elena's got 3 jobs. She's a camp counselor. She works at an ice cream place. And my other, she's a full-time student at the University of Maryland, comes home and does camp also. Like, they're a little bit of grinder. So I'm hoping the generation coming up.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I have this on my phone right now. And we talked about this in my peer group that I'm a part about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, is it just a mindset? Like, do young people not want to work, or can you train them up?
And, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I found this article, and it's literally going back to 1894 of newspaper clippings that says, you know, this people these days don't.
New generations
don't. New generation doesn't want to work.
Yeah, it's in 1849.
1894, 1905, 1916, 19, I mean, literally all the way up to 2022.
There's a generation.
And it's like, you know, nobody wants to work anymore. Nobody likes to work. Can't find a good able-bodied person.
Yeah.
Those people are out there.
They're, yeah.
We got to spend the time as an industry building people up and not just expecting them to like be thrown out there on a lawnmower, or, you know, a spray rig or whatever, you know, whatever you have them going out on, and expect them to be a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone grew up, especially now these days, doing lawn care because their parents, you know, hired us to do it. So, you know, we have to be willing to train and build people up as well.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, that Gen Z area, like we really got to build those guys up.
Yeah, a little more.
I think they're calling it's like the next generation alpha, I think is the next one's coming up.
And the key of the whole thing is holding on to your people that are really good.
Yeah.
Take care of them.
Yeah.
You know? Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Like, whatever it takes.
And you know, a lot of business guys out there, I tend to overpay my guys.
Yeah. For sure.
Because I try to give them as many little perks as possible. You know, you need to fill up your gas tank, you know, cool, use the company card. I'm not saying they're using it every time they need to fill up a gas tank, but, you know, once a year I'll say, oh, yeah, you can, you know, going on that trip with your family, you can use a gas card for that or something like that.
This probably relates to my, like, one soapbox thing in the industry is we need to charge more. We need to stop racing to the bottom all the time. You know, we... No other industry is like ours when, like, we're expecting to get, like, the cheapest dude.
Yeah.
You know, barely above, like, a livable wage. It's absolutely insane when you really think about it.
Yeah.
We don't operate like that. We've always tended to be some of the higher, you know, paying.
Well, listen, I was – me and my wife were having dinner, and the news was on in the background. They're talking about minimum wage. And they said it was like $7, something like that.
You can't live on $7.
And I was like, and she like stopped eating. She's like, did I just hear that minimum wage was $7? You can't live off minimum wage. It's not even a thought. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I'm sure there's someone getting paid minimum wage.
Yeah, but
it.
Like, it's like almost like a moot point at this point.
Yeah, it's a moot point. I mean,
it used to mean something. So let me finish. We were having dinner, and then I was thinking about when I was a chef back in the day, and I was making $9 an hour, $8 an hour, and then I got a raise to, I think I was like $10.25.
Same.
And I thought,
big boy,
I thought I had them. I was opening up credit cards. I was like, fuck this, I'm the best. Let's go to Vegas. And it wasn't. It just wasn't. You know. And I'm just thinking about what we're paying people now for things, and I'm like, man, you just gotta. If you, like you said, Andrew, if you want to keep people around, you got to do a lot more. And if you want to find,
got to make it a career.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We're already as an industry competing with the other building trades because it's generally the same people.
Because people, you think about plumbers. Plumbers are plumbers, right? They're plumbers. They have a skilled trade or electricians, or we get lumped into this landscaping. I wish it was like green guys, or like, you know, you have plumbers, it's like green industry. I wish there was like, oh, there, we're as well respected as a plumber is coming into your house as a landscaper is.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm can not, charge the same amount.
You know, obviously electricians and whatnot, that, you know, they earn their worth and stuff, but, you know, landscaping, and if you're doing it well, is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
To install something, like, you need to know surveying, you need to know plant, you need to need
soil structure,
soil structures, I mean,
sunlight, native sunlight plants, invasive plants.
You got to know everything.
I mean, that's the crazy part, is that the knowledge that you guys have, and especially you TJ and you Andrew, I know very little about plants, but I know a lot about soil. You know, I know how to feed my plants. Sure. I might not be able to identify those plants, but when I look at what you guys know, you have to know such a wide range of things, right?
And, yeah, I mean, and coming out of Penn State, I had to know 500 perennials to graduate, like hundreds of trees and shrubs, Latin names, how they're used, common names, you know, soil type, what zones they're in. I mean,
yeah,
you know, growing zones. That really helped, you know, start the company, because I had that base, you know. Props to Penn State for a great, I mean, I had no soils, irrigation, surveying, business. I mean, not a lot of places teach business for landscapers.
Yeah, well, but, not a lot of high schools teach business either, which is a goddamn
crying shame.
It's a shame. Yeah.
Really. How to balance a checkbook, how to take out a credit card. Anyway, but interest rates. Yeah,
back to, you know.
I'm bitching a lot on this podcast.
And handle a credit card.
I understand.
Because you can rack it up and say, well, what do I do?
That 29%, that's a bitch when it starts hitting.
It's called paying off every month.
Yeah.
Or tear it up.
So to jump into, you know, a little bit different topic here, I really want to get into the dynamic of you as brothers. I know how that can be sometimes. And honestly, the dynamic of having your father heavily influenced too, because – he's a different generation. He thinks differently than we do. They marketed differently. They ran their businesses differently 30, 40 years ago. How has that influenced you guys? You know, I know your dad has good influences on you, but has working as a, you know, you, your brother, and your dad, has that led to some not arguments, but some disagreements on how you want to take the business and how far you want to go and where you want to go, how you want to market? Because I think how you wanted to market and how you wanted to do the business was probably a lot different than how your dad thought it was going to go, or, you know, and then you got to throw, you know, Andrew graduates college and is like, yo, I'm in
this
too.
That's where it starts. Yeah, where he was building the, you know, building. I was doing the summer work, but he made me 50% owner right then and there when we did the building. We bought the land together. So
yeah,
that you know, thank you to him, because you know, he didn't need to do that. It was it was his baby, but he, I guess, appreciated me working for pretty much free every day.
I mean, he got paid, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I mean,
minimum wage.
Yeah, it probably $7.25 probably the hours ended up being, you know, minimum wage at the end of the day. But you know, yeah, that was a little tough pill to swallow, because like, here it is, your baby basically. Yeah. You're like the king of your castle, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. and now all of a sudden you're bringing someone else's opinion into things.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is difficult. And I would say generally I would avoid partnerships in business. I'm very lucky that I get along well with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really good relationship. You know, getting back to my dad and stuff, he always preached, you know, family first. You know, at the end of the day, you only have your family.
Yep.
You know, if everything goes awry, you still have your family. Like, it was drilled in.
Drilled into
if Jastrom, if no, Jastrom fails.
Even before that, it was always, hey, TJ, take your brother with you. Go catch or do something.
Take him to the baseball field.
Go play with your friends. Have him hang out with you. Like, I was always hanging out with TJ's friends because, you know, I was a good athlete.
Wait, where were you? Did you guys have the pool when you were in high school, like growing up? At your dad's house,
or was
that
a different house?
But you had a pool.
We had a little pool.
See, that's I tell my wife, that's the reason why I want a pool, is because you become the hangout house. Like people, like
for sure.
Like my cousins, I talk about my cousins a lot because I love their family structure. They're just great people. They care about everybody, and their kids are amazing. But I always like, we'd go over there on like a Saturday night, and there's like 13 year olds there hanging out, and he's like, yeah, it's awesome. He's like, I can sit on my deck and not worry about where my kids are at. Yeah, they're all 100%. Here. Yeah. So, so your dad, what was his role in the beginning? He was really just kind of keeping the books and doing bills, and it's kind of still what he does now.
Yeah,
his role hasn't changed too much.
My dad, so a little background on my dad, he has worked in the banking industry his entire life for some of the largest banks in the world. And then he started a bank, grew that, and then worked for a regional bank in the Northeast and grew that as well. So he recently retired and was like, hey, you guys need help, obviously, you know, doing your billing and whatnot. So he does that, you know, watches over the finances with me, you know, making sure cash flow is good and all that jazz. But he's there as a backstop, I would say, like, you know.
A yin to your yang.
Yeah, he, you know, I bounce stuff off of him, you know. You know, talking about, you know, how would you do things differently? That's probably where we get our conservativeness from in business.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's like, he used to do loan workouts. So he's seen countless
loans. Yeah, yeah.
Countless loans.
Go bad, too. Go real bad.
He's like, do not. He did risk management.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like,
oh, you want to buy that skid steer at 8.9%? No, sir, you're not. You better go rent that 42
you guys
times.
Out of your mind.
As probably difficult as it was sometimes when you had a different vision, it was probably, I mean, to be honest with you, a single mom, I didn't have that growing up, and I wish I had that fiscal responsibility from the beginning. I have that now with Stout Lawn Care. Andrew was a big influence in that. Me understanding that fact that I got to keep my books, and I've transitioned that into my life and trying to teach my kids that. But that had to have been a really amazing advantage for you guys to have, even growing up as young kids and working part-time, and your dad giving you that responsibility, hey, money is money, and you got to be careful with it, and
it
you
probably,
having
it probably,
you know,
slowed our growth.
I mean, you graduating from high school having 10 grand in your shit, I had 20 grand worth of debt, let alone, and $482 in my account, because I was working 60 hours in the restaurant business, making 32 grand a year.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of in our family history. I mean, my uncle, I mean, he's been presidents of Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah.
You know, my other uncle is a tax accountant. So, I mean, they basically like, you're not going into accounting.
Yeah.
So that's why
and your dad and your uncles were probably like, we're not going to let Jastrom Premium Landscapes fail either.
No.
You know, they had a vision.
They have a pride in it, too.
Yeah.
You know, they like
Absolutely.
Seeing the names out, you know, names out on the trucks and stuff. We probably, like Andrew was saying, we probably could have, if we went back in time and could do everything, all we could have definitely grown Jastrom and all that quicker. But again, product of the great financial crisis, like I can sleep well at night.
Yeah. You know? I always used to say when we were sitting in your office, like, TJ, just do it.
Yeah.
Just please just do it. You've been talking about it for 2.5 months. Just buy it or just rent it or, like, come on. Well, it's $800.
That's the Andrew Gabries. I mean, Andrew's the ultimate doer. So, yeah. Like, you know, Andrew, I would say, did the opposite, and look where that got him.
Yeah.
You know, he risked it all how many times over. But
again, with our dad, it can flop real quick.
You can go opposite way real fast. Yeah. Real
so
fast.
I don't know what the right answer is.
No, I don't think there is a right answer.
Every person's situation is different. Every market's different. But
and where you want to get out of your life, too. Like, we talk about this a lot on my podcast, that I'm like a slow growth. Lean and mean, kind of. I just want to build
tortoise
a really.
In the hair.
Yep. And that's kind of my. And don't get me wrong, we're spending still 5% of our total revenue on marketing.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
So like, or
that's what we do. Yep.
So it's not that I don't want to grow, but I don't want to take these elevated risks because I like where our business is at right now. And I think you've gotten to, you know, I think when I was there, you were pretty hectic. Then you hired Jimmy, and then. You know, you got the H2B program in place.
Yeah, we started growing pretty quickly.
And then since then, but you guys, even talking to you over the last 2 years, you seem a lot more relaxed. You seem like you have these systems in place now, and you're just now we're doing this podcast on a Friday morning. You know, it's nice that you guys aren't worried about getting salt trout. Yeah, you don't. Well, not even that. You don't. You used to be out there helping what's his name put salt spreaders on, you know. You're not doing any of that stuff anymore, and it's probably a good feeling for both you guys that you've gotten to this point. And now it's time, you know TJ, you can now look back on your books and really define your profit and loss and really be focused on how you can grow the business. And that's huge now for you guys.
I wish I had the advice. I would have gotten a CRM like way long ago.
Yeah,
we have Aspire. I'm, you know, I know you guys use Real Green, correct?
Yep. Hashtag, if anybody wants to sponsor this, I don't use Aspire, but you can sponsor this podcast. That's fine. I'll have TJ on it once every couple episodes. But
Aspire,
on a real note, WorkWave, I know people from WorkWave listen to this podcast and Real Green, so you guys should definitely have the Root Zone.
So I'm running
sponsor the
Aspire
Root Zone.
With Turf Care.
Yep.
And I would say it does have its limitations. It's more geared towards landscape and design build, but I'm hoping and I'm seeing some things coming out that is going to make some changes towards that.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will work better.
And you guys use Captivated, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So hashtag Captivated out there. My man Karsten and what's the main guy? Bill? I think his name is Bill.
Yeah.
They should definitely sponsor this podcast. Yeah. I'm going to send this right to them.
You sent us Captivated. Great, great service.
Oh, my God.
Great service.
Captivated is awesome. And there's a lot of, I mean, I'm sure Aspire has texting incorporated.
They just added it in.
But it's not the Captivated with the templates and the.
Yeah. I tried to get them to meet the Captivated and Aspire.
Yeah, so they can.
Aspire's like, we're already working on this on our own.
Yeah. But good news on Captivated front, they are starting to dive into the phone hosting. What's that called when they host your phone?
Like a call
provider?
Yeah. They're going to provide the calling. So
nice.
If they're as good as they are with texting, I'm hoping that the call metrics and everything they're going to do with calling.
We were just talking about that internally, about having a like 2 o'clock call in with all the crew leaders or whatever, so we know where we're at for the day.
Yeah,
like
I like that.
So, you know, if I was doing this all over, get a CRM earlier.
Yep.
Join a peer group. Earlier.
Join a peer group.
That 2 o'clock call in, my buddy Adam Callison out in St. Louis, he does that with his crews.
That's smart.
I mean, it's like, all right, where are you at? How you doing? Do you need anything?
Yeah.
Finish up your
what's
job
holding you up? If we sent more guys to you, could you get done today?
Yeah.
You know, then you at least know, hey, that job tomorrow, we're going to have to bump that.
Yeah.
Or, hey, no, he's going to finish on time.
Yeah.
Get the materials ready for him. You know.
And so you're just calling your crew leaders, not the crews.
And it's short.
Yeah.
It's 5-minute call.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to, you know, you don't want this to be like a 20-minute meeting. Or
I'm trying to translate that to the fertilizer world. So I guess it's this, I kind of do the same thing with my guys a little bit differently. I always have them check in at the end of the day. When you have one or two jobs left, just let me know that you're, because I might have a service call that's out there that you're, yeah, you know, that, you're in.
That's
you're,
probably more for the design build. I mean, we do that with, you know, our turf guys too. Like, yeah. Hey, how's it going out there? Are you running into any problems or whatever? But,
do you do it with your mowing crew leader per se, or they're kind of,
they're like on an island
set and go, right?
So, yeah, usually set and go, and you know, all of our stuff GPS. You know, definitely get your stuff GPS.
Yeah.
So you can. You could see where they're at on the route.
Yeah.
You know, Aspire, it highlights green what house they're at. So, you know, we can tell if they're on track or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think a check-in's always good. Like, hey, the mothership is watching you, you know.
Yeah.
You know, making yeah. sure everything's good. But
no, but it doesn't hurt you guys if you got, even you two, you got a big job that needs, you know, a yard more mulch. Let it's so much more beneficial just run that goddamn yard out than it is to have to send four guys out there the next morning to, yep. to finish, I mean, an install.
Quick aside, you know, the Wawa stops in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, we just translate that run back with the yard of mulch. Just even like a Wawa stop, which is like 15 minutes for gas. We figured out, you know, now the numbers certainly changed, but it was like 2 years ago. It was $83,000 in cost just going to Wawa. A day,
yeah,
every
yeah.
day, you yeah. know, for the yep. for the Mo guys. So that, and that's just hard cost. That's not lost potential.
Yeah.
So that yeah. that number is well into the six figures. A couple years ago, I should probably look at that number now. But we generally have limited that.
We've nixed it.
We've nixed that. Yeah. So it's probably actually gone down.
Hello, this is Brian and Stephanie, owners of Tick and Skeeter Deleter. Are you providing a tick and mosquito control service?
We formulated a product to target today's environmentally conscious market.
Tick and Skeeter Deleter is your ultimate 25B exempt pesticide.
This product controls on contact while acting as a repellent.
With these all-natural essential oils, you will leave behind an aroma even the neighbors will enjoy.
Elevate your business with Tick and Skeeter Deleter.
Use discount code ROOTZONE for a 5% discount on product at yardcomfort.com. Thank you for listening to the Root Zone podcast.
So, Andrew, what's next steps for Premium Turf Care? I know you have your program locked in. I think you're pretty good with that, right? You
got a lot of tinkerer, so it's not gonna
yeah.
change.
Yeah.
We just bought another truck. So,
that's great.
TJ's working on with some friends in the industry of picking up all their spraying. So
yeah,
just keep moving.
Yeah, we're probably going to be in the Lehigh Valley market.
Hey,
And Southern Chester County, hopefully. Yeah, we're trying to grow it. It's definitely difficult. You know, I was listening to the Derek your episode one and talking
yeah.
about marketing. I mean, it is really tough
yeah.
These days, like getting noticed, but.
It's tough, and there's I think when I'm at these conferences, there's always like a lot of PA Furt and Squirt guys there, and they're like always like everyone that's not from PA, like, damn, there's always like PA, New Jersey, and I'm like, yeah, because there's a thousand fertilizer.
It's the same thing with my peer group. I mean, I think in this area there's like 10 aces.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, obviously the area has had a problem. It's obviously getting better.
Yeah.
But usually it's the areas that have very stiff competition. It's like, you know, we need help because
yeah.
we need to do better.
So. And the marketing aspect, let's just like we talked to Derek, is there's so much to know. Where me and Steve were talking to this guy yesterday about, you know, Facebook advertising and Google keywords and how much we're spending on that stuff. And we decided not to do any print marketing this year because we saw, I think we spent $8,000 on print and got one customer out of it last year. Now, can you equate?
We were the same.
You know,
we didn't get much.
So if, you know, maybe 8,000, maybe we got 10 customers out of it. Just yeah. just to be, you're fair. Still, I mean, $800 for a customer acquisition is not going to keep you in business. Or
yeah,
it's just not, you try it and you're like, no, we're just not going to do it again. You know, and
that's the tough I guess we're talking about direct mail. So
yeah.
the tough part about that is we've seen it work really good, like
yeah.
in one run. And yeah. then the next run, it'd be like, why do we spend that money?
Yeah.
So it's just so inconsistent.
But it's everywhere. I mean, you guys do it all too, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, marketing is really about touches at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it takes about 6 to 7 touches.
Nope.
Possibly more.
It's wrong now. So look that number up. Now it's 8 to 9 because of TikTok generation.
Okay. So yeah. Probably more now. And I just think that helps as a touch. If you're expecting the moon off of that, you're going to be sadly mistaken. But it has a part, I guess. You know, what you want to do is send multiple things out at once. So it's like, hey, I got this in the mail. Hey, I just saw, you know, online. I saw
Absolutely.
The ad online. So multiple different touch points is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Nothing beats the neighbor saying these guys are the best, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
Yeah. We're actually talking about referrals. And, like, yeah, obviously, if referral's not your number one source of sales, then you're not doing it right. Yeah. But I was thinking, maybe I asked you guys this, is that, I know we're running up against it here. Got a couple minutes.
It doesn't 4 hours.
Yeah, we're going to have part two. But when I think the law of attrition, is that the right word? I think it is. You only have your customers, your cheerleaders, for a certain amount of time, right? That first year or two is like a sweet spot for referrals for new customers. So you get Mrs. Jones, you turn her lawn around. She's going to be a cheerleader for you for a year, 2 years. But you know what? Just like everything else, just like the emails I get, just like the Facebook posts I get numb to it. I get numb to the sports complex saying that they have a free deal or they're doing new things or something like that. I get numb to it, and I think that if you don't keep on bringing in new people that want to refer you, you know, that's why new sales and direct mail and all that's so important. Is you might not get the direct sales, but you're getting maybe a year later or 2 years later, you can't even look at that number, but you might have got 4 referrals from that money mailer from Mrs. Jones. There's no way to track it.
Yeah.
We've all tried it. Yeah. We've all, and Steve, we had a conversation yesterday. We were talking about Google and Facebook. He said, it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. So there's no rhyme or reason but to do it all.
I mean, it's just about being seen out in the marketplace. You know, your trucks are nice. Your lawn sign's nice. You know, your work is nice.
Your uniforms are nice.
Your uniforms are nice. They see you driving by. They see
your Facebook posts aren't pixelated.
Yes, your Facebook posts are well thought out. Like, get a nice iPhone or camera or whatever you got. And
well, I was looking at someone's Facebook page, a bigger landscaper around here, and their last Facebook post was last year when they were selling aeration seedings, October 6th.
Yeah, I mean, you should at least be doing it weekly.
Weekly,
I struggle with that too.
Now, I gotta say though, I mean, I've come across a bunch of customers who've left like a bigger conglomerate, like a True Green or a Green Lawn.
Yeah,
they said, "Are you gonna call me every week like they do? Because I don't want to deal with
you."
Like, there's too much at some point when you have a customer to how much you reach out to them. I'm like, no, if you don't want to hear from us.
We'll set it and forget it, right?
Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
If that's what you want, but, you know.
I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people just want their stuff handled. We're a little different than probably some of the models in the industry is we include a lot of the stuff. Now, it's in the price, don't get me wrong, but people really don't want to get, like, the 10 phone calls during the year.
No. And the best part is
we do call and say, hey, how's the service going?
Yeah.
But it's not – It's a check-in to, like, build the relationship, not sell you something.
Yeah.
If we happen to sell you something during
more
the visit,
power to
more power, you know, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Usually the phone calls around aeration and overseeding.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is that we obviously market to our own customers and upsell everyone, but we have a game plan going into every year, you know. In the spring going into summer, we upsell them on bugs. You know, outdoor insect control or indoor insect control. In the summer, we're upselling on fungicide. In the fall, we're doing it for aeration seeding. We're not calling them to do, hey, do you need lime control? Do you need grub control? Do you want fungicide? We're sending four emails,
yeah,
a couple contacts,
fine.
You know. But to the social media point, I tell these guys all the time, man, if you're not posting, you know, there is an off season, but for you guys, there's not an off season. You guys are doing work right now. So, you know, posting your snow removal stuff, like, dude, you know how many views you get with that
sure.
People love seeing snow get pushed. And to everyone out there, we do it in the off season. We're doing one or two posts a week. And then as soon as March 1st hits, we're
you're really good
every
at it,
day.
By the way.
Thank you.
You are.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's Steve.
It's a full-time job. I mean,
100%.
Yeah, 100% is a full-time job.
And if you look at any of the big companies out there, they're all hiring for social media.
Yeah, they're all fake pictures.
Yeah, they can be. Well, that's the SEO problem.
Don't use fake pictures. I mean, people can tell when it's not real. I mean, use your own work.
Yeah.
That's like half-assing stuff, in my opinion. Like, do it the right way. But, you know, I'm just a big proponent of being seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you've said many times to me, it's signs and lawns.
Signs and lawns.
Yeah. So, you know, let your work speak for yourself. Obviously, do the social media stuff. But, you know, the more signs you can get in the lawns, the better you're going to do.
And answer your phone and actually meet
neighbors
with the customer.
Talk. You know, you got the neighborhood Facebook groups and stuff. Yeah. You know, they're more likely to trust their neighbor. You know, like, hey, look at this great work.
I believe that's episode 4 or 5. We had Chris Lurch on from Hello 422. We went into it deep on, and even 2 episodes ago, we had Joe from Royers for Fence Company. You guys know Joe. Yeah. And the crazy part about Joe was I looked at his website before I did the interview, and it's like very basic. And he knows that very, very basic. I'm like, how do you... You know, because it's a different business. It's not reoccurring. He has to find the next fence project. He has to find. I'm like, how are you doing this? And he said, dude, I've been on Facebook since it changed over from MySpace. And he's like, since people switched from MySpace to Facebook, he's like, I've been on it. And he's like, I have a marketing machine with that exact thing, those Facebook groups, everything. He's like, I get handed work. He's like, I'm 3 weeks out on estimates right now.
The Facebook groups are the greatest thing for a business in the local area.
It's basically a referral.
Speaking of Joe, like, you see, hey, I'm looking for a fence guy, and I'm just, you know, scrolling. He literally can, his name's up there 15 times.
Like, oh my God.
He is the best of these.
It's unbelievable. It's really cool to watch. Like, you look at these groups and like, hey, just moved in the area looking for a fence company. It's like Royers for Fence. Royers for Fence. Royers for Fence. Royers. And then it's like Monco Fence. And like, who are these guys? Monco Fence. You know, and it's like.
They're probably great guys.
But, you know, and that's, me and Kevin Salters were talking about that. You know, once you get it rolling, it really is a marketing machine. But anyway, we're rolling here. We're going to have to do we'll do like a midsummer check-in. But listen, real quick, how can people get a hold of you? I like to put it out there that we're not on this podcast to make any money, and this is not an upsell of any sort. I know TJ and Andrew are an open book, and they'd love to help anyone out there that's in the same situation. Maybe there's some landscapers out there.
I'm all about networking. You know, I'm in peer groups. You know, those are all open. You know, obviously you don't want to give away like the company secrets, but you know, not that we really have any in this industry, but you know, they can certainly look up jastromlandscaping.com. You know, our numbers there, our emails are there.
Yeah.
You know, premiumpaircare.com. We're on obviously Facebook and Instagram at Jastrom Premium, if you want to check out our pages on there.
Absolutely. Get out there. Everybody like, follow.
Please.
Everybody like all those photos. And Andrew, does Premium Turf Care have an Instagram page too?
Yeah, it's at Premium Turf Care.
Awesome.
So, yeah, check us out. I'm going to get better this year, you know, following Chris's tune here.
No, listen, it's all about just taking 1 day or 2 days a month and taking 47,000 photos.
Yeah.
Of different angles, different services, different everything. But
I'm going to do it.
There you go. To recap, I just want to thank our sponsors again. Tick and Skeeter Deleter, without your sponsorship, we couldn't do this every other week. And I want to say thank you very much for letting me use your shop, getting me a great start in this business, being stewards of the environment and friendships. And I really appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. And continued success. I think you guys are going to continue to kill it. I think these next couple of years are going to be awesome for you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And, you know, likewise back at you. I mean, we couldn't have started at least Turf Care without you being instrumental in that. And being a great steward of the industry, it's really important. You know?
Yeah. So. Hey, no, it's not – what's the phrase? It's not your net worth, it's your network.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times this industry has been closed off. We need to network and collaborate.
That's right.
Not be enemies. So.
Yeah, there's too many houses out there to be enemies.
Yeah, there's
too many loans.
There's plenty of customers out there. So
absolutely. All right, guys, I really appreciate you being on.
Everybody back to work.
Everybody listen up. We air these every 2 weeks. Keep listening, like, follow, subscribe. Please hit me up. Please send me a message on Instagram, Facebook, however you can get a hold of me. And if you want to be a guest on the show, please send me a direct message. I'd love to keep my options open for some guests maybe I don't know so personally. So thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Chris.
See ya. I'm talking to you.